So I want to invite you in God's Word to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to ask you a question as we get started. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to ask you a motivation question. What really motivates you? What really motivates you? So it's leaf season, right? How many of you are thrilled that it's leaf season? If you never have to go out and do anything in it, then you're thrilled, I know. But for those of us who do, it's leaf season, and a number of years ago, my yard was full. I had a week where I let it get piled up, and you know, this is a time of year where you kind of got to every couple days stay after it, otherwise you're in trouble, and it had piled up that week. It was way too thick. And it was way too much to try to do it all on my own. And this was the olden days in our family. I didn't have a leaf blower yet. Leaf blowers are amazing, aren't they? But I hadn't purchased one yet. Whoever invented the leaf blower should get the Nobel Peace Prize, I think. So, but I didn't have one yet. And so it was old school. It was rake, rake, rake. And it was going to be way too much to do all on my own. I still had young boys at home. And I realized it was going to be a super hard sell to get them enthusiastically motivated to help on a Friday afternoon. Friday. Out of school, they have buddies to hang with in our neighborhood. That was their typical after school on a Friday routine. So that day before, I was grumbling to myself, truly was, about the leaves and about the fact that even if I played the big bad dad card on them, I would at best be getting a half-hearted effort. I knew that. They would not be motivated. And then I got an idea. Yeah, here's what I did. I told them, each of you invite a friend to come over after school tomorrow. If you all help rake and push leaves to the road until dark, and it's just, you know, we're going to get rakes going and your feet going, pushing leaves toward the road. If you'll just all do that so that the leaves are out there for when the leaf sucker truck comes by to pick them up, we're all good then. If you will do that, I will take all of you to Infinito's for pizza. The old pizza motivator. I thought to myself, this is an ingenious dad motivation. I'm like, this is awesome. And I told him, tell your friends, your dad is mine. All they have to do is come rake, push leaves. And so after school, on Friday afternoon, they showed up. And I got to tell you, it was truly amazing how much faster that job went. Now, the crazy thing is that they each invited three or four friends, so I had to take out a loan in order to pay for Infinito's pizza, but that's beside the point. It was amazing how much faster the job went. Why? Because they were motivated. They were motivated. Across this year, we've done this very deliberate, scattered series on trust and generosity, motivated by our Heavenly Father's gracious, faithful care. Motivated by our Heavenly Father's gracious, faithful care. And we're going to cap this off this morning, our Trust Father More in 24 series, with Discovering More together. We're going to see five motivators for trusting Father more and giving generously. Five motivators for trusting Father more and giving generously. Let's find out how to be cheerful, grateful givers, trusting our Heavenly Father more and more. Now, I want to encourage you as we do this to hold on, because some of you are like, oh boy, okay. Everybody these days from the news outlets talking about money and the economy, to now here I am at church and they're talking about it too. Oh, all right, I want to encourage you, hold on, because some of these motivators are probably going to surprise you and potentially help you in a whole bunch of arenas in life. Trust Father more, even as we finish out 24. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, Paul says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Here's motivator number one. Planting, harvesting, and blessings. Planting, harvesting, and blessings. The point is this, lets us know that Paul is summing up his applauding affirmation to the Corinthians. See, they had energetically committed to generosity for the famine relief offering. Paul and other leaders in that day had started this famine relief offering for the region around Jerusalem that was experiencing devastation and starvation. And so they were rallying people in faraway places to give generously toward this offering. Now Paul called for them to finish strong, to actually follow through. This, by the way, is what great coaches do, right? If you've coached a crew of kids in soccer or baseball or any developmental sport, you know. How many of you have coached something with kids of all sizes or maybe even young adults? You've coached something. You know how this works. You need both attaboys, attagirls, and now stay after it, get it done. You need the blend, both. So aiming to motivate, Paul points to planting and harvesting. Now his picture is beautiful because he really borrows it from ancient Hebrew scriptures as well as Jesus' teaching in the Gospels constantly. Jesus, and then reaching back into the ancient Hebrew scriptures, the prophets used this metaphor as well of planting and harvesting. It was used in multiple ways. And Paul scoops that up and uses the same picture. The picture is actually simple, but too oft overlooked or forgotten. Plant a little seed. What happens? You'll probably get a little crop. So those of you who farm, you know, You better put it out there. If you plant just a little tiny bit, you're only going to get a little tiny bit. Right now, this time of year, related to, some of you know, it's grass growing season. So if you've got a big patch in your yard and you choose to just, let's just put a little out here. I didn't want to spend that much on grass seed. Let's just put a little out. What's going to happen? At best, you might get a little blade of grass or two that come up if you water it right. If you get doggone lucky, maybe. But what happens? Either in a field where you're planting crops or where you're planting grass seed, what actually needs to happen? Back in Bible days, in Paul's day, as they farmed great big fields, what would they do? What? You better scatter. You better get it out there. Let it go. And I know some of you are getting nervous because you're like, wait, who's gonna clean that up? I know. What? You better spread it. You better take the risk with it. You better spend a little more. You better get it out there. It's a beautiful picture. Plant a bunch, you're more likely to get a bumper crop. In fact, fun footnote right here, bountifully, you see it twice there from Paul's lips, from his pen, bountifully will also reap bountifully. Bountifully literally says with blessing, with blessing. If you've been around Manor Church the past several years, you've heard us talk a good bit about how we are blessed to be a blessing. We aim to bless others because God has so blessed us. Abundance begets abundance. That's Paul's idea here. Be a blessing motivated giver, yes. Be motivated to bless others and watch God keep the blessing going, both to you and to more people. Now see verses 7 and 8 for another motivator toward our trust and generosity. Our trust in Father and our generosity toward others. Verses 7 and 8. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, this is pretty much covering the full range right here, you may abound in every good work. Here's the second motivator. Second motivator, decisive, cheerful, all abundant grace. Decisive, cheerful, all abundant grace. God the Father is indeed our example. All giving that carries wonderful influence flows from the Lord's grace. At the core, grace is abundant kindness. Abundant kindness, giving with no strings, even and especially when people don't deserve it. No strings. In other words, it's not a work get paid situation. It's freely given. That's grace. It's not a work get paid situation. It's kindness freely given. Paul is pointing to our Father, our Heavenly Father's example, how he makes all grace pile up. And that's the idea. It's like layers and layers. It's like piled up, piled high to the sky and deep down deep, overflowing our way so that then we're contented having ample supply. And what happens? We are then always able in all opportunities to graciously work for more good for others. Again, God the Father is our motivator and example rooted in his grace. And Paul's point? Be decisive, be cheerful, be gracious with an abundance mentality. Be decisive, be cheerful, be gracious with an abundance mentality. As we close out the year here at Manor Church, we're aiming to run strong through the finish line, through that finish line goal of $1,395,000. And right there, some of you are like, oh, that's a big number. Yeah, it is. And it's a God-sized challenge. We still have $415,000 to go. And now some of you are going, Yeah. And the beautiful, wonderful thing is that's a God-sized challenge. And he invites us into it. And he invites us to trust him more. And over again, we have a track record as a church of seeing him be faithful to graciously supply. And we get in on it. We'll be keeping you updated out in the foyer. If you noticed when you walked in today, you saw the shoes up across the top and that moving number that reports to you where we are. And we're going to keep that updated. So each week when you walk in, you're going to get emails and you're going to get stories that spotlight what's going on through your giving. And I got to tell you, we will be keeping you updated in all kinds of ways. So be watching. And be watching the shoes, by the way. Those shoes up there, this pile is ready to be added. So we're trekking across toward the finish line. There'll be more shoes added right there. Some of you are coming up here to shop afterwards. I know. That's what you're thinking. Ooh, I like those red ones. Yeah, these are designated. The cool thing is, just so you know, all the shoes are going to be donated in Colombia in some special ways that will influence and be a ripple and bless others in this coming year. So it all works together, grace overflowing, more overflowing in great ways. Paul said it to the Corinthians. And by echo, I'll say it to you today. Pray strong. Pray strong and decide in your heart how you'll graciously give right here at your end. Please don't sit this one out or assume somebody else can do it. Please, hear that loud and clear. Don't sit this out or assume somebody else can do it. The beauty of the church is how we're all in this together in Christ. As we learned across our fall series, we are Christ's body. We're stronger together, better together. So we pray strong, serve strong, give strong, and we can finish strong. Truly. We've got some fun magnets for everybody today, encouraging us to run through the finish line together. So some friends are going to come from the back and share those with you. So they'll be spreading those down the aisles your way. I want to invite you to take those with you and let your magnet remind you to pray, be decisive, be cheerful, and have an abundance mentality. In case you're struggling with the cheerful part, here's something great to realize. And we all at times, especially when we hear about money or we face tight times or we hear church talking about money again, we can struggle to be cheerful. And if that's you, I want to encourage you with these cheer producers. Consider these cheer producers. First, every Sunday you get in on Sunday morning stuff like this. And if you're here this morning, then you are grateful for what God is doing. Your giving helps make this happen every week. Amazing things are getting poured into kids and students' hearts and lives. Our kids and students' ministries are booming again. Praise God. And we're grateful for that. Global mission partners get resourced to share the gospel around the world. And our global mission partners utterly depend on our generous giving as a church, your generous giving. It ripples out in great ways. Our local, regional, missional endeavors happen out there with things like Celebrate Columbia and other great community initiatives. Our local missions team of staff members, have you thought about our staff members that way? We really are a local missions team, and what happens, we help mobilize. Our local missions team of staff help mobilize all of us and equip all of us for all sorts of good works. Care and prayer and seminars. And this list, by the way, of cheerful motivators can go on and on with tangible blessings like coffee, volleyball, toddler gym, preschool, faith decisions and baptisms. We've had the joy this year of so many faith decisions and baptisms. All kinds of cheer motivators, and the list could go on and on. Look at what Paul says next in motivating us. Verse 9. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Here's a third motivator. A righteous, generous legacy. A righteous, generous legacy. Question for you, serious question. Will your kids and grandkids, plus other family and friends in community, remember that you are generous? Will you be remembered as generous? Paul is recalling and quoting from some dusty, ancient, old song lines. Psalm 112, a psalm that exploded the idea of giving for others. Sharing out of one's personal resources so that others in need might be blessed. Psalm 112. But the interesting twist with this psalm and Paul's echo of it is the motivation to be known and remembered as a gracious, generous person. Serious question. Do people know you now? And will they remember you as an abundantly generous giver? Do people know you now, and will they remember you as an abundantly generous giver? I know, okay. Some of you right now, right here, are saying, well, I really don't want others applauding me for giving. I want pure motives. I want to be doing it for the right reasons, not for what others think of me. Okay, yes. That's noble. Great, I get it, really. But right here, Paul and the psalmist are letting us know that there is room for leaving a godly legacy. Nothing wrong with aspiring to be known for your generosity. You can do that without being all show-offish about it. You don't have to showboat in order to leave a legacy. No, just do it to bless God and bless others. Do it with an overflowing heart of abundance, of blessing, because of your Father's generous example. As a result, others will catch on and be motivated. So I got to tell you, already, here as we move toward your end, move toward the finish line, as we've been starting to talk about that, people have already given extra in all sorts of great amounts. Some have given an extra 50, 75 bucks, which is wonderful, extra, that's great. Others have given 500, 5,000, somebody even gave 50,000. Praise God. It's wonderful. What a legacy. How about you? Now, no arm twisting. No. No call for you to give under compulsion. Absolutely not. Not even some hyperfixation on that 50,000 number you just heard me say. Some of you are stuck right there. You go, oh, whoo, that's a lot. No fixation, no hyperfixation. Yours might be, as we push through the finish line, an extra $50. That's fantastic. It might be an extra 500 or 5,000 or even 100,000 extra or whatever God tells you in your heart to give. Paul is just tossing us a challenge. You started strong, now finish strong. Will you be known as generous? Will you be known as generous? What will be your legacy? Now see how Paul motivates us next, verses 10 through 12. See Paul's next motivator, verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings. Notice the plural. Many thanksgivings to God. Fourth motivator. Thanksgivings and ministries get multiplied. Thanksgivings and ministries get multiplied. Paul revisits the planting, harvesting picture in order to describe definite multiplication and increase with divine authority, and track record of God's faithful provision in the past. Paul makes significant promises right here. Yes, he makes promises. Give, and God will keep giving to you. Supplying more and more. Give and keep giving. God will supply more and more. And what's the result? What's the result? You'll get so wealthy, so comfortable, have a big time Vegas baby life. No, so you're grinning. No, just common sense says no, right? Note carefully, that's not what will happen. You'll experience a harvest of righteousness and overflowing thanksgivings, yes, as you live in your right standing with God because of Jesus. Your own needs will be met so you can turn around and righteously do more good. It ripples into the future. And then what happens? More and more people will express overflowing thankfulness. Many thanksgivings. I mean, this is like being a hobbit. Yeah. We've had first breakfast. What about second breakfast? One Thanksgiving. How about the next Thanksgiving? Andrew prompted us earlier. It was a good prompt. Don't wait for November 28th, round the table. What are those wonderful ways right now you get to serve and bless others, and you look around here and you see others serving and blessing? What are those wonderful ways you see others serving and blessing? Mark it down, offer it up, share it with others. Mark it down, offer it up, share it with others. What Christ-like, humble, God-glorifying service do you see happening around you? The kind that's so worthy of your gratitude and overflowing thankfulness that it becomes second breakfast and third breakfast. It becomes the multiple thanksgivings and multiplying ministries. Whose life is different this month because of overflowing generosity through you, through an overflow of your time and your talents and your financial treasure, the testimony that God has given you, that overflow? Mark them down. Offer them up. Share them with others. Thanksgivings. And so here's the wrap-up motivator from Paul. Here's the wrap-up motivator. Verses 13 through 15. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission. In other words, because you were responsive to my challenge, Corinthians, because you were responsive to push through the finish line. That comes from your confession of the gospel. In other words, because the gospel is alive and well in your heart, because you know the beautiful reality of Christ's cross, where he bled and died to forgive you, because you know the reality that he rose from the grave to change you, to save you, because you know this. Well, then this father-like generosity just comes to life in you and through you, your confession of the gospel of Christ. And then what? The generosity of your contribution for them and for all others while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Here's the fifth and final motivator. It's the biggest one of all. It's the best one of all. God's wondrous, gracious, best gift ever, Christ Jesus. God's wondrous, gracious, best gift ever, his son, Christ Jesus. Our Father God's gracious generosity is truly best expressed in the giving of his son, Jesus. Those well-worn, well-versed lines, John chapter 3, off Jesus' lips to Nicodemus, for God so loved that he gave his one and only son. He gave his one and only son for our life-changing, destiny-altering salvation. Jesus was given. He worked, taught, called his disciples, worked miracles, died and rose again for our forgiveness, for making us right with God, for landing us in his glorious forever. Jesus is the Father's best gift ever. Best gift ever, generosity. In his example, we learn how to live generously. Watch this. Be motivated to trust Father more and be abundantly generous. Watch this.